Number four is what I feel like I'm supposed to read this morning. Just some things on my heart, and I'll share those with you as we get into them. And what I feel like preaching this morning, what God's laid on my heart, this is a title. It's Four Reasons People Miss Salvation. And we're going to get into the verse in just a minute in the middle of the text. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And I want us to think about that, and I want us to think about why we're here, why Jesus came, the whole purpose for Jesus coming into the world. And we'll talk more about this probably next week, but I want you to think about this, that Christmas and Jesus Christ's birth was the beginning of the blood of Jesus. See, he had always been. But you ever thought about that? In Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1, four verses, it says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now I want to go back and pick up the third verse again. That's the text verse. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I want you to think about that, and I'm going to try just for a few minutes to share with you the things that are on my heart. I've got just four reasons that I want to talk about. But I want you to look at what it says. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect? You know, if you neglect to pay your car insurance and the state patrol gets behind you, they'll write you a ticket for texting. But I tell you what he'll be doing. He'll be looking up your tag number on the computer while he's driving, by the way. And if you don't have insurance, I tell you what he's going to do. He's going to pull you over. They're going to write you a ticket. You get to the end of the year and it's coming up in April. If you don't pay your taxes, I can tell you what they're going to do. They're going to come looking for their money. And if you got a business, they'll garnish your wages. They'll put a lock on your checking account, your savings account. They will actually, they'll take your property. But you're not going to neglect to pay it. There's some things in life, sometimes if we neglect them, we can see the consequences. But you know, what we can't do here in this life is we can't see into eternity as long as we're in this body. But the scripture says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You see, what I want us to realize is that if God sent his only begotten Son into the world. And here's what the Bible teaches. And I don't have time. I got to be careful about this. I can't preach the whole Bible to you, but I want you to understand that in the beginning, the scripture says, in the beginning, God said, let us make man. You see, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity was together, and God, Jesus Christ, existed in eternity past. He just came into the world in the form of a baby to be a man, took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh so that we might be made the likeness of a holy God. And if he made the worlds and he offered a way to purge our sin, as the scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if he purged our sins, and now Jesus, I believe, is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the children of God and for his people. If God judged angels, and you can read that in the scripture that we read here in Hebrews, and there are several other references to it in the Word of God, and if those angels were judged, and they were judged for the things that they did, and if God created man, and the Bible says that he crowned him with glory and honor, made him a little lower than the angels, but you're different than the angels. You're different like this because you were given the volition of a free will. You don't have to be here this morning. You don't have to decide that you're going to serve God. You don't have to decide that you're going to follow God. And we're going to talk more about that. But if God made you that way and He gave you that, and if God remains the same, here's something to understand. God has not changed. Sometimes we do. I have. Tommy Bruce came in here last week with a picture of me when I was in the 11th grade. I said, that's not me. That don't look nothing like me, does it? Amen. That guy was 4 inches shorter than me. He had hair like Maynard Jackson. I said, we change. We change in the way we look. We change in the way we feel. And sometimes, let's just be honest, if you're growing, you ought to be changing in your relationship with God because you ought to be growing some conviction. You see, we change, but God doesn't change. You see, if God does not change, and if all these things have been done in God's time and God's perfect will, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You see, this scripture is on my heart, and I've got four reasons that I want to share with you that the reason that people miss salvation. And the first one is a false assumption. You see, people miss salvation because they say, I'm okay. I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I go to church and I do good deeds and I'm not bad. You know what they want to say? I'm not off doing any bad things. I'm not in jail. I've not been convicted of any crimes. I'm not addicted to any drugs and I'm okay. I'm a good person. And sometimes they even say, I give to the church, I give to missions, I give a lot of money to charity. I'm a good person. I'm okay. You see, what I want you to understand is there will be a lot of good people who will not make it to heaven. Amen. The scripture says in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, in verse number 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out many devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Jesus said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, I'll tell you, that's a little heavy for me. And I'll tell you why, because if I look at that and I see all these things that they did and they're not going to make it, well, sometimes I wonder, how in the world am I going to make it? You know, the Bible says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Now, doesn't mean that our righteousness is filthy. That's not what that's saying. But it means when you try to provide your own righteousness to go to heaven, it's not going to work. Because it's not about what you do, it's about what He did. You know, our motto here, and I like it for me because I always want to have this, is it's not about us, it's about Him. Amen. And if we begin to understand you cannot work your way to heaven, you cannot be good enough to go to heaven, well, how are we going to get to heaven? By accepting what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. Amen. You know, when I look at this scripture and I think of this first point, a false assumption. You know, I have friends that I've known in my life that were not saved. They never accepted the Lord as their Savior. They never made any open profession of Christ. They never went to church. And in fact, one man that just comes to my heart and mind, he's probably one of the best men I've ever known. He was honest, and I can remember when I first started working, some of the things when I was around him working with him and the things that he would say to me. And the wisdom that I gained from him, and even then, because I was saved at 12, I was about 18 years old working with this guy, it troubled my heart that he's such a good man, but he doesn't know God. And all of his life, throughout his life, different times I'd have an opportunity to speak to him, and I'd speak to him about the Lord. It's almost like the hand would go up. I don't need that. I don't have time for that. You know what they say? I'm fine like I am. You see, it's a false assumption to think that you're going to heaven because you're good. The truth is, and sometimes this is why it's difficult when you're a pastor or you work in church and, you know, you got church members that are rough. Let me tell y'all something I know. Just because y'all saved don't mean you're polished like china. I had a man tell me one time, he was preaching revival. He said, I was down at the store and somebody saw me and they came up to me immediately and they said, Pastor, I just want you to know, I was down here, you know, at the store at the gas station and I saw one of your church members going off on somebody like it's the pastor's fault. I can't control y'all. You're not saved because you're good. You're saved because the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied. Thank God for a covering. Who can talk to you about grace? It's somebody that needs grace. What about the person that says, I'm good? It's a false assumption. Let's don't think that we're going because we're better than somebody else. Because we're not. The second one is a bad presumption. And I want everybody to listen to this, especially you young people. But here's a bad presumption. You know, I've been in church all my life. I'm going to heaven. You going to heaven? Yeah, I'm going to heaven. How do you know? Well, I'm a preacher's son. Or I'm a deacon's son. Or I'm going to heaven because I have perfect attendance. Ever seen anybody like that? I know something like that. They wouldn't let you know, I'm here again. I've got perfect attendance. Bless the Lord. Well, I'm glad you're here, and I mean that, because you can't preach to empty pews. And we need fellowship, right? Amen. But let's get a hold of something and understand the bad presumption is just because you're in church, just because you go to church, just because everybody in your family is saved, just because your daddy's saved, just because your mama's saved, that's not enough. You need to get saved.
Amen. Amen.
And there's going to come a time when the Holy Spirit's going to speak to your heart, and you need to answer the call of God at that time, because no one can answer that call for you. Sometimes people come to me and they want to talk about their children and their children possibly being saved. And now I'll tell y'all where I'm at with that. I believe when the Lord knocks on a heart's door, all we need to do is help them be able to answer that call.
Amen.
We don't try to stir up some type of profession of faith, because you can get it out of a kid. But what we want to do is help them understand. Just like Samuel, when he went over there to Eli and he said, did you call me? And he said, no, I didn't call you. And he come back again. He said, the Lord's calling you. And I want to tell you something, young people, old people, everybody, when the Lord calls you, you must answer the call for yourself.
Amen.
You see, because what I've got is just enough for me. See, here's the issue with this. Why are you even preaching on this? Well, honestly, because God has put this on my heart. Because sometimes people are good people. And they've been in church all their life. And their family's been in church their whole life. And they're here and they're working and they're serving. But they've never took the time to answer the call of the Lord. You see? Some are going to say, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? He said, I don't know you. You see, I heard somebody say one time, they said, if God ever speaks to you, and some people say, well, God don't speak to you. Well, he's spoken to me. I can't speak for you. But God spoke to me in times, and I knew whose voice it was.
Amen.
And he said this, if God ever speaks to you, you won't ever have to ask the question, was that God?
Amen.
You'll know. And when God speaks to you, here's what you need to do. You need to move. Sometimes people say, well, I don't want to go down there. People will wonder what's wrong with me. I want to go down there because I know what's wrong with me.
Amen.
And sometimes what we do, and this is the way this church is, and this is the way that I am. As long as I'm able to be a pastor, there'll never be a day that I'll pastor a church where there won't be an altar call, where people won't have an opportunity to come and be saved by the grace of God. You go into a church and they have service after service after service and they never give you an opportunity to pray. How do you talk to the Lord? I do it at home. Well, let me tell you something. There's no better place than here where God is knocking on our hearts.
Amen.
Because if we love each other and understand, you know what we ought to do? Brother Rick, if I go to the altar, I know people will pray with me. If you go to the altar, you ought to feel like you're in a church where people will pray with you. They don't have to come and say, what did you do? So, and then they call and say, hey, sister so-and-so, I just want you to pray for them. I just want you to pray for them. That's the only reason I'm telling you this. I tell you what we do. We want to love people, restore them to the family of God. There's nobody done anything that it couldn't have been you. A bad presumption. I'm a preacher's son. I was a preacher's son. And you know what they say about preacher's kids? I had to get saved. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And here's the third reason that people miss salvation. And I think this is common in the day and time that we live in, is a total rejection. Now, I got two things I want to mention here. There's a soft rejection and a hard rejection. Hard rejection will understand a lot more, but a soft rejection is I just don't need God. I don't need that church stuff. I'll take my chances just like I am. And I've even heard people say something like this, say, well, if hell is real, I won't be by myself. I'm going to have a lot of friends that are going to go. I can't tell you how many times I've had people say that to me. The Bible says, and it's Jesus, he was speaking of the rich man who lifted his eyes in hell and he was tormented in the flame. He said, Father Abraham, would you send somebody to go speak to my brothers? And let them know not to come to this awful place. And he said, well, they've got Moses and the prophets. If they won't hear them, they're not going to hear if one rose from the dead. Can I tell you, in America today, if we're not going to turn back to God simply because of the goodness of God, miracles are not going to change people. God's performed miracles in this church. We've seen them, but they're done for his honor and glory because the world don't believe them anyway. Even when God does something. And you even ask them, I've asked people this question. Because, why you ask? Because we care. You got any family members and you don't know whether or not they're saved? And you get to ask them the question, are you saved? You ask them, are you saved? And when you ask them the question, here's the answer that I've often got. I'm okay. I'm okay. Have you been born again? I'm okay. What does that really mean? You really okay? Are you okay because in your mind you've rejected the idea that I'll ever bow to God and let God have control of my life, and you're just going to take your chances? You see, what I believe is I'll never be good enough to stand before God on my own. That's why I'm standing pleading the blood of Jesus. And then you got the hard rejection. And this is where we're at often in America today. We see it daily on the news. We see it in politics. We see it in people. We see it in our society. We see it in government. We see it in secular schools and the way that they're teaching, especially at the college level. I don't want God. I don't need God. I don't believe in God. I've even heard people get on the television and they make a comment. Now, this is getting strong, but here's where we're at. How in the world can we elect a leader that actually believes in God? I heard one person criticizing their own party because they got up and they were saying, how in the world can you people criticize people for praying and thanking God that he turned that last hurricane and it went up the coast rather than coming right across and destroying a home and business? And you get made fun of because you actually pray to God? So they even may say things like this, there is no God. And the idea of God is for weak people who cannot cope with the evolution of life. I've been told before that I was weak because I'm a Christian. I need a crutch. Well, here's the truth. I recognize that there is a creator, and I am not him. There is a God who has made and created all things, and I choose to bow to him because, you know, if we could see into eternity, there nobody would die without Christ. But you can't. See, the scripture says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? In the book of John, chapter 19 and verse 15, the words they said when they had Jesus there and there was Barabbas. Barabbas was guilty of murder and robbery, and he was convicted to go to a cross. And when they set Jesus and Barabbas before the people, because it was customary to let one go at that time, they said, give us Barabbas. And he said, what about Jesus? He's done nothing wrong. But the scripture says in John 19, 15, but they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. I want to tell you what I believe, and y'all know what I believe. I believe the Bible. I believe that the prayers of the Christian saints of God are what is actually holding America together. America as a whole, America from a leadership position, has decided we don't need God, we're not going to bow to God, and we're okay by ourselves. Let me tell you something, church, keep praying. You know, I know what I believe, I'm solid, I'm secure, but I got children. I got grandchildren. And they're going to come into this world after I'm gone, and they've got to move forward. And as difficult as it is for us, and you can remember what it was like in generations past, what's it going to be like for them? And I want to tell you what it's going to be like, because I believe the Lord's coming. That's a whole different message. But there's going to be no escape for those who say, I don't want God. For those who say, I don't need God, who have the false assumption that I'm okay just like I am. I'm a good person, and I've even had people say, I'll just take my chances. The Bible teaches us in the book of 1 John, you can know that you know that you know. Amen. I've had people come to me and they say, how can I know for sure that I'm saved? You can know. Sometimes people get stressed about it, and it could be because of the stresses of life. It could be because of the past life and maybe the kind of father figure that sometimes people have that's hard for them to understand that a heavenly father can love them just like they are. Sometimes we doubt our salvation because of sin. Don't let the devil tell you that because you failed, Jesus knows everything. I tell you how I know. Because I've accepted what he did for me. It's not about me. It's about him. But the false assumption that you're okay by yourself, not going to work. You know what the last one is? And this is sometimes where we're at. It's a time of procrastination. In other words, you come into church, you hear a message, God speaks to your heart, and here's what sometimes people say. They say, well, you know, maybe some of the things that preacher said make some sense. Maybe I do need to get right with God before I die. I mean, after all, I don't want to spend my life separated from God. I don't want to spend my life separated from my loved ones, separated from my family. I want to spend my life with my family in eternity in heaven, enjoying the blessings of God. But I'm just not ready to do it today. I just don't want to come today. I'm going to put it off. And that's what procrastination is. And here's what sometimes people do. They look at their life and they look at their age and they say, well, I've got plenty of time. I've got plenty of time to get saved. I've got plenty of time to get right with God later. But that's one of the main reasons that people miss salvation. I've even heard people say this. I'll get right with God after, and they fill in the blank. I heard a young lady one time say, yeah, I'm going to get right with God, but Can it wait till next week? Because this weekend is spring break. And I know I need to be a Christian, but there are things that I want to do at spring break that I'm not, you know, really, I don't think I could do if I'm a Christian. I've even heard people say this to me. I've had some young men that I tried to witness to say this to me. I want to get saved and I want to turn my life over to the Lord, but I've got some wild oats to sow first. I want to get right with God after, when in reality, here's what they don't understand, and this is a whole message too, is everything they're involved in, everything they're doing is a counterfeit for something God has better for you. He's got you believing that you can't come to Him because. See, we don't come to God when we get ourselves cleaned up. You'll never be clean enough. That's why Jesus had to come. He's the only one that could stand in the hedge and make up the gap. You come to God when you surrender. When you get to the point that you're willing to give everything you have to Him, knowing that in yourself there's no good thing, you say, well, you know, I just don't think I could live it. Let me tell you, nobody can. That's why you have to allow the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to come and take up its abode in your heart. And what God does, and there's many here that could testify to this, is God helps you be something that you would never be able to be by yourself. Amen. He'll help you with that temper. He'll help you with those urges and those things that you do that are wrong. He'll help you become the person that you're supposed to be. That's why He had to come. Well, I'm going to put it off. I'll come to God later. Don't put it off too long. See, the reason is you're not promised tomorrow. For someone, and I believe that God put this message on my heart for a purpose, for someone, today is the day of salvation. And now may be the appointed time that God wants you to be saved. Now may be the appointed time that God wants you to personally come and make sure that things are all right with you and God. You know, what sometimes is troubling to me, being in a position I am as a minister, I do a lot of funerals. It's heavy on my heart sometimes. But what's heavy is when I do a funeral and I ask the family, were they a Christian? Nobody can really give me a direct answer. Well, you know, he went to church some. Well, he was a good man. Was he a Christian? Did he know the Lord? I don't have a problem saying, well, yeah, he was saved. Thank God for grace because he needed it. Yes. I can handle that. Yes. But you got to have Jesus. You see, we're going to give a song in just a minute and ask you to stand to your feet. But I want you to think about it. Is there a false assumption? You're not okay without God. Bad presumption, well, I'm going to heaven because I come to church. No, no, you need the Lord for yourself. Maybe God spoke to you. You remember the first time that God spoke to you through His Holy Spirit? I do. It was like the ice bucket challenge. That's how real it was to me. Well, have you rejected God? Sometimes people reject God for different reasons, and I've seen this one a lot. If God is God, then why? Why did my grandmother die? Why did my brother die? Why did this happen? And they blame God, and then they say they don't believe in God. What you ultimately were going to have to do is bow to God. What about putting it off? I remember one time, and I went and I witnessed to this man. I talked to him, and I invited him to church, and I invited him to church, and I invited him to church. And finally, one day, I was talking to him. He said, oh, I'm going to come. And God just put it in my heart, and I said this. I said, don't wait till they roll you down the aisle. That's true. You see, there's one thing about time, and I'm learning it more and more, is time runs out. I want to ask you if you would just arise to your feet. And here's what I want you to understand. God loves you. I love you. This church loves you. And if you want to have the fullest, most ultimate, best life that you can have it with the Lord. Allow God to do what only God could do in your heart. You say, well, I don't even know that I know how. Well, if you'll come down here, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll have men pray with men. We'll have ladies pray with ladies. Youth, if any of y'all feel like God's speaking to your heart, we got youth that'll pray with you. We got a youth leader that'll pray with you. That's the most important thing. I heard a preacher say, and I feel the same way. He said, I love to preach, but I'd rather pray with you. You see, the truth is, everything we do in a service, all the singing, all the worship, all the ministry, leads us to this point, because I believe this is the most important part of the service.
Yes. Amen.
This is where we open our hearts to God and we allow God to do Amen. What only God can do.
Amen.
You ain't got to tell me nothing. Tell Him.
Amen.
As this song is played, if you feel like praying, would you please come?
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Done a great job, great singing,
amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
We've got a couple come to join the church this morning. We're going to sing one verse of Amazing Grace.
All right.
I tell you what I want to do. We're going to sing this verse. We got people in this church, you've been visiting with us till we call you family.
Yes.
Well, we'd love to have you come and join the church.
Yes, amen.
Because we want to give you a deacon. We want to put you on a calling post. And when you work in the church and you get to that line, so you can't do that because you're a member, we want to remove the line.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And we want to march forward for the honor and glory of God.
Yes.
And we need you.
Yes, we do.
So if you're here and you'd like to be a part of this church, just come. We accept members by a statement of faith. If you've not been baptized, and Brother Brian here, he wants to be baptized.
Amen. Woo!
So before we vote on them, we're going to give you this verse, the opportunity to come. So let's sing one verse of Amazing Grace.
Come on.